Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think about this as a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not awfully disgusting in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
It's Crab Diving Live on a Monday, rocketing at you from Los Angeles, California, Koreatown, US of A. It's a little bit after 2 p.m. out here on the Pacific Coast, a couple of minutes after 5 if your ear holes are sucking us in out east. If it ain't that time, then possibly you're listening to the Crab Diving Show here as a rerun on the Crab Diving Network 24/7, or you've downloaded it as a podcast at iTunes or at Stitcher. At which place, of course, you've left a glowing review or you've gone to crabdiving.com. However you take in the show, we appreciate the heck out of it. I should say I appreciate the heck out of it, as does Ryan. But Ryan's not here today again. My name is Patrick Vile. This is Monday, the 16th of November. Ryan is, I think, at the airport, near the airport, heading to the airport. I think he's on his way back from Chicago, Illinois, a successful trip out there. I understand he had a good comedy show one night, and some crab diving listeners showed up, so that's fucking awesome. Big thanks to them, and thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the crabs. If you want to tweet me during the show, I'm going to be trying to keep one eyeball on it, flying solo here, pressing all the buttons. Moving all the levers, pumping all the air pumps here all by myself at the steampunk version of crab diving. And I'm going to try to keep an eye on the Twitter. It's at crab diving. One word, C-R-A-B-D-I-V-I-N-G. You could tweet during the show, and I'll try to keep an eye on that, see what's going on. You can also, don't forget to follow us on the Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and all kinds of stuff going on there. We share memes. We share stories that we don't get to here on the show, stories that we do get to, etc., etc. Join in the conversation. Lots of intellectually gifted people that hang out with us, and lots of great opinions, and the occasional troll, which is always fun to bat around and play with when some of the right-wing nut jobbies show up and say stuff like libtard and oh bummer and things like that, which there's plenty going on these days. And I think forever, probably, as long as these morons have an outlet. It's Monday. We didn't do a show Friday. I didn't do a show Friday. I flew solo again on the first time on Thursday. You can go to crabdiving.com. Listen to that. Friday, I just was like, you know, screw it. Fuck it. I'm taking a day off. I just figured with what had happened that I was, you know, it's, you know, I mean, I decided to not do the show before it happened, but I just didn't feel like doing a show. I'm not prescient or anything. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on in the world? Before the show, I was like, fuck it. I'm not talking about it. I'm not going to talk about Paris. I just don't want to talk about it. What else have we heard about? Rightfully so. But we've been really, our ear holes have just been just pummeled and our eye holes pummeled. And if you're reading, your brain hole pummeled with story after story after story of personal stories of what went on, the horrific attacks, stories of heroism. They're still, I guess, trying to hunt down one of these just fucking spectacular dickwads who lunatics, extremist, batshit crazy motherfuckers who carried out these attacks. I think they think 8 of them is the latest I saw, as far as estimates as how many had carried it out. And they 7 of them are no longer striding the planet. Sadly, I mean, I don't know. This is one of those where you wish they would have lived so they could, I don't know, maybe suffer a little. For those of us of the atheistic persuasion, we don't believe that these guys are frying in any hell or anything like that, that's it. They're just gone. And that's one of the downsides of atheism is you don't get to wish your enemies to fry like the wonderful Christians do here in United States of America. Usually at people when they're saying, you're going to burn in hell. So, all over Facebook, people have changed their avatars to the French flag overlay, a lot of outcry, a lot of people crying hypocrisy because, you know, a bomb went off in Beirut not that long ago, killed, I think, 40 plus people. Also horrific, many, many people injured, and there wasn't a lot of change to the Beirut flags. You know, how do you explain it? I don't know. We're assholes. We're Western centric assholes. And we, you know, the French are the Americans' oldest friend, despite the shitting upon they received in the early part of this century when it began, when the Cheney regime, the junta, was in charge, and when they did their shenanigans that are too much to list. Again, there's another thing the other day that just came out. That's just more evidence that these assholes knew that there were no WMDs, and they knew that they were just ramrodding, bending over the country, and getting one of those, like a cannon from the Civil War, just plugging you up, ramming it right up there with, we got to go, we got to take out Saddam. Got to take out Saddam Hussein. It was all bullshit, which is, every sane person knows the seeds that were sown for ISIS, for these assholes that are running around, that Saddam, as awful as he was a pretty good butt plug for the asshole of just giant explosive diarrhea that was corked up in the Mideast. And that as heinous as he was, we're finding that maybe the vacuum that he left after we got rid of him might have been worse than him, Saddam, been left there and forced to kind of kowtow to sanctions, etc. Look at the Iranians. Look what's going on with the Iranians. How many years has Lindsey Graham been waxing up his eyebrows and powdering his nose and getting on television and saying, I say we need to bomb. We need to just bomb the shit out of everybody. And McCain squawking around saying, rah, 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 we got a blah, 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 week, feckless, feckless, feckless. This past couple of days, I've heard the fucking word feckless more than I think in any period during Obama's administration. Feckless, 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 feckless. The feckless Mideast policy, feckless, feckless. It's like they send out a fax or something to all the morons. Use this word. But everybody's been trying to get Iran for all these years, and they impose sanctions and harder sanctions, bigger sanctions. And finally, maybe the sanctions kind of finally worked after a while to at least bring them to the table. We've found that unlike the inexplicable policy of not talking to people, this is, did you hear at the last clown car, at the last debate, the
It's the 2016 Republican primary.
Trying to drink more during the show. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I started sounding a little raspy at the end of the last one. But Carly Fiorina, I believe, was the one at the clown car. Now I've actually forgotten if I could, somebody could somehow fax me my train of thought. That would be fucking awesome. I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants here, trying to get the windows to open too on this wonderful computer device. You know what? I'm going to stop my opening rant, my kind of crazy ramble, and I'm going to go straight to the headlines, because assuredly the headlines have to do with the bullshit perpetrated by jihadi terrorists in France.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, high atop the Crab Diving Tower, Los Angeles, California. Dateline, November 16th, 2015. Somewhere Ryan's yelling, "The year of our Lord!" These are your headlines, ladies and gentlemen. The headline over at the Commie Pinko Liberal Effete Huffington Post is loading. He said load. Meanwhile, ringing in on the Twitter, we are Western centric. Do people visit Beirut for fun? Calling it like it is. Interesting point. Yes. I mean, not a lot of flights booked when you got your 2 weeks off that the man gives you per year. Not a lot of people are like, damn, let's go to Beirut. That sounds awesome. Whereas Paris, I've been lucky to be to a few cities out there in the European land. And as much as every time I go, I have to go to Rome, because just Rome is just my city. I just love that city. But I finally made it to Paris, and goddamn, Paris is really, it had been described to me before and I didn't appreciate it. But really, every corner I turned just about when I was there, wandering the streets, the arrondissement of Paris, it was just like a, holy shit, this is a pretty goddamn fucking town. Beautiful, beautiful. And I didn't find the people rude. Quiet, well, maybe a little more stoic, but not, they're not effusive. I didn't find myself treated rudely by anybody. So the headline over at the HuffPo says, "Govs lock out Syrian refugees." Here we go. Governments, in light of what happened in Paris, have started saying, that's it. We can't, we're not taking any more of these refugees from Syria, from what's going on there. Closing up our borders, which is, in my humble opinion, exactly what fucking ISIS is looking for. It's been said or found in some of their documents, I think, that one of their objectives, one of their methods of bringing about their caliphate and the fucking end of the world bullshit is to just this, is that these terror, they want us to be drawn into the conflict. They want us to start bombing neighborhoods and blowing up more schools and more hospitals, because it makes the people hate us more. And then they can swoop in and say, look, hey, we're helping you guys. We're feeding you. We're going to save you from the evil Western Americans and all the West. And the, with the Islamophobia too, that one of the things they want is to have countries turn against the Muslims within their own countries. They want you're just filling the pot of the perfect ingredients for homegrown radicalism here and in other countries. That by the more that we set fire to mosques, which, you know, I mean, hasn't happened yet, fortunately. But listen to some of the rhetoric that's going on. And actually, there was a threat to a mosque somewhere here in the States. I'll find that story over the weekend where somebody said, we're going to kill everybody. We're going to bomb your fucking mosque or something like that. And I think that's one of the things that ISIS wants. They want everyone in Europe to turn against the Muslims. They want everyone here to turn against Muslims so that they start treating them like shit. And the Muslims start saying, well, wow, I don't know. Maybe the caliphate is right. Maybe we do need to all get together and fight the evil Westerners. So we really need to not give in to the Islamophobia, I think, as easy as it is to blame Islam. You know, this is one of the things, as a baby eaten, devil worshipping atheist, Islamophobia. Anyway, I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. So the headline says, the governments are locking out these Syrian refugees. Yeah, that's exactly what they want us to do. They want us to turn against Islam and demonize Islam, ignore a billion Muslims in the world. We ignore the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions who are not in Islamic really repressive regimes. You know, there are other countries that are not, that are Islamic, that are not as heinous as obviously Saudi Arabia or these really extremist countries. And we need these Saudi Arabians to step up. We need these guys to start stepping up in that area. But boils down to this just Sunni versus Shia thing, and less so about these borders and bullshit like that. It really, the ISIS is taking advantage of the Sunni and Shia conflict by, you know, because they're protecting or alleging that they're protecting one of the sides. So here in the States, meanwhile, some of these countries in Europe so have said, well, that's it. We're not taking these refugees. Because, of course, the refugees are running from the people that we're fighting. The refugees are running from ISIS, too. The refugees are running from their country, their neighborhoods, their houses being blown to fucking smithereens. And because of the cauldron that is happening in Syria, entire neighborhoods are going bye-bye and people are being displaced by the millions. And they're trying to get the hell out of there. Well, now, because of what has happened in Paris, people, you know, the right wing, there's a real strong right wing in Europe, not as in charge of a lot of the places as our Luna fucking ticks here. I'm talking to you, Texas, Alabama, Michigan. They are trying to I'm sorry, I'm skipping again. I just saw something flash here up on the screen. Like some of the countries there in Europe, where they're closing up the borders now, doing exactly what ISIS wants. That's it. Can't take these refugees. What if they're ISIS? What if they're Al-Qaeda? And guess what? If there's millions of people coming over, It might happen. It just might happen. Can you, however, close as a human being, close your borders and say no to millions of people who, I just saw footage last night of somebody, I don't know where the hell they were, crossing an icy river, it said. And it's these families carrying everything they own. Little kids trying to hold them up above the water as they're trying to make it through the water. It's just horrific. And a horrific, horrific crisis. And I think to blame the refugees for anything regarding this ISIS bullshit is bullshit. The here in this country, of course, they're screaming, that's it. No, we're not taking on these refugees. Obama just wants to import suicide bombers. And sure enough, a bunch of let's call them Republicans in some of these states. Interestingly enough, it's all Republicans in these states that have said that they are now going to be blocking any Syrian refugees from resettling in their states. Paris, look what happened in Paris. We don't want none of them here. Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Illinois. Shame on you, Illinois, my home state. First, shame on you for electing that fuckhead as a governor. And second of all, fuck you to the governor for this bullshit. Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, North Carolina, Texas, and of course, the home of the weaselly cokesucker pulled his lips off of the saggy, grayish pink sacks of the Koch brothers for a couple of seconds to announce that he's not taking any Syrians there. Scat wacky. And also ringing in from the little dangling dong down there in the south of the country, Florida, Governor Rick Scott has said that he doesn't have the power to prevent them from coming, but he's going to block funding for resettling them. So I don't know what does that mean? They're going to ship some refugees there. They're going to say, sorry, got no place for you. Here, you're homeless. Welcome to America. It's just a heinous display of pandering to the lowest common denominator, the fears, the xenophobia of the knuckle-dragging assholes that are out there. Terrified of the Muslims. Close up your states. Don't let any of them in. Here in Crab Diving Studios, less than a mile away, is a mosque. And I don't know. I've never gotten a weird vibe from it. I've never felt like the enemy is a mile away from me. It's that whole fear-based philosophy of that we need to close up the doors and not let anything brown in. Some of them are saying, what was it, Ann Coulter, who I know I should never invoke that withering sea hag's name for anything sane, or we should pay attention to what that groundhog is saying. I insult groundhogs. I apologize to our groundhog friends. And to our sea hag friends. But Ann Coulter said we should close all immigration right now. Like close all the immigration. Jebediah, James Earl Jones Bush. James Earl Jones Bush said, well, maybe we should just allow the Christian refugees in. What are you going to do? How do you determine this? Do you turn them over? Is there some kind of a barcode on Christian taints or something that we don't know about? How do you determine these people? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay. How are you going to prove it? Take a wafer. Eat this piece of bacon. I mean, what kind of a testing criteria are they planning on giving in Jebediah James Earl Jones Bushland that he is that he wants to do that. I think it just shows his desperation. I think that statement from Jeb Bush, which if you go to our Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, that statement from Jeb really shows his desperation. Don't you think that amidst the cauldron of craziness that is the front runners right now of the Republican Party, Donald and Ben Carson, Fiorina, Ted Cruz, that maybe Jeb feels the need to put a fake arrow through his head and go, look, I'm just as crazy as these guys. And maybe that's why he said, well, I think we should only allow the Christian ones in. Maybe he's trying to look a little pretty for the utter and total lunatics out there. Just a speculation. He was talking to, I think I can actually play that clip. Here is Jeb Bush was on CNN. This is not Wolf Blitzer. This is, let me see, who is this dude on CNN? Jake Tapper he's talking to. And here is Jeb's response on Sunday to how he thinks we should respond to the Paris attack.
There are Syrian refugees coming into the United States right now. Clearly, there is a heartbreaking humanitarian imperative at stake. But what would you do as president, given this new information?
Well, I think we need to lead as it relates to taking action in Syria and Iraq to eradicate ISIS from the face of the earth. That should be our first and foremost responsibility. But as it relates to the refugees,
what does he mean by that? We should lead. We should lead. This is their ambiguous. Their ambiguous strategy. Well, they don't have an answer. They don't have an answer because there are judges. There are military experts, generals, who say, "Well, we're going to need to put ground forces or whatever." But then there's some that say that might not help. That the drone strikes that were and the airstrikes are helping, but. One thing they're all united is, well, lead better. We should be leading better. And what does that mean? We kind of are leading the coalition. We've done thousands. We've dropped thousands of fucking bombs in Iraq and Syria to try to go after ISIS. And the and drone strikes and shit. That's not enough. That's not enough. Lindsey Graham, of course, wants to send in every soldier he can. But when they say, "Well, we need, why don't we lead?" What does that mean? What about these coalitions? What about the United Nations? What about why aren't the French invoking the I forget what it's called, but there's a rule six or something like that, where if basically if one's attacked, we're all attacked, and they could basically plead to the United Nations saying, okay, this is an act of war. We've been attacked. Now let's bring in United Nations forces and go after ISIS. But I guess they're receiving pressure from what I've read from the United States, who doesn't want to do that. Here's Jeb.
I think we need to do thorough screening and take a limited number, but ultimately the best way to deal with the refugee crisis is to create safe zones inside of Syria so that people don't risk their lives and you don't have what will be a national security challenge both for our country and Europe of screening. In addition to that, Jake, I'd say that there are a lot of...
The question becomes, how do you create these safe zones? Well, you lead better.
Christians in Syria that have no place now. They'll be either executed or imprisoned either by Assad or by ISIS. And I think we should have... we should focus our efforts as it relates to refugees for the Christians that are being slaughtered.
So we should only worry about the lives over there that are Christian when hundreds of thousands of Muslims have been killed. Let's not forget that. ISIS has killed Muslims. ISIS has mostly, by far, vastly killed Muslims, other Muslims. They're Muslims they don't like. They're of a different ilk of Muslim, or they're not Muslimy enough for them. But they have far more targeted their own peoples so far. But Jeb's idea is, you know, only Christian lives matter. We gotta get in there and pluck those Christians out of there.
How does the United States, how do screeners tell which refugees are Christian and which ones are not?
Well, there you go.
Well, we do that all the time. We do that. It takes almost a year for a refugee to be processed into the United States. And I think we need to be, obviously, very, very cautious. This also calls to mind the need to make sure we protect our borders, our southern border particularly. We need to focus on counterintelligence capabilities that have been weakened when the Patriot Act was reauthorized. This is a warning for our country that this threat is not going to go away. This is a threat against Western civilization, and we need to lead. The United States has pulled back, and when we pull back, voids are filled, and they're filled now by Islamic terrorism that threatens our country.
Well, yes, but... first of all, let's not forget that everything was created by the brother, and it's everything. Everything he's saying is just platitudes. We got to go in, and the voids were left. Okay, great. But to commit, what does it mean, Jeb? You say you want to lead. Does that mean let's start putting divisions in there and start marching through Kandahar? No, that's the wrong country. Let's go to Kandahar too. Start marching, take the oil. Like Trump said, good God, over the weekend, he said it again. I'm going to try to find that clip. We go in there, we take all the oil, he said. ISIS has, claimed responsibility for these massacres. And Jebediah's plan is to, we gotta go get them, but let's make sure we pluck out and save the precious Christians first. Not that Christian lives don't matter, but all of those lives there matter. And for him to say that we should just go save the Christians sounds like Glenn Beck. It sounds like a lot of these right-wing nut jobs who are screaming, look at the persecution of the Christians, which is heinous and horrible in that area. But there's also a part of Africa where there's a rampaging Christian militia that's massacring Muslims. So, again, we can't paint anyone with broad brushes. Yes, right now, the main assholes that are perpetrating these horrific attacks are using a... extreme version of Islam to radicalize people and to push their agenda. But by no means, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but by no means should we paint all Muslims worldwide with a broad brush any more than, you know, the Christians should be painted with a broad brush, etc. Or atheists, this whole new atheism thing, where... these guys are thrilled. The quote, new atheists, which I guess they take a lot of heat these days. Your Richard Dawkins is your Sam Harris is. These are guys who kind of actively talking against Islam specifically as the main reason. I think kind of their view is that it's dumb to not blame Islam for it. But again, I think that's an oversimplification. Yes, they're using Islam. So I guess go back a few hundred years, would have been the same with the Crusades. Well, yeah, they're using a bastardized form of Catholicism to go off and kill people. So I don't know that I agree that much with these quote new atheists. I think there's a little bit more, not middle ground, but reasonable ways to talk about it and to categorize it. And it does sound, I've heard Dawkins, and I've heard Sam Harris, and also Bill Maher, another big one, who it does get to the level, I think, of Islamophobia, of blaming blaming a certain group too much. There's people who, I mean, there's heinous people who are like, there was a clip on CNN I saw where the CNN, I don't even know who they were. They weren't anybody I knew, you know, the weekend, the B-roll. They were trying to get some Muslim resident of Paris that they were interviewing. They were basically, who has nothing to do with it. He decried it. He said, it's horrible. It's horrific. It has nothing to do with Islam. But they were kind of trying to get him to accept responsibility. Like, well, you know, why don't you accept responsibility for this? And he's like, well, but I don't. But I believe the people, my friends, my family, my mosque doesn't believe this. We don't believe this. Well, you should possibly, you Muslims, you can't, they said you can't shirk the responsibility. Here's the clip from CNN. They were interviewing, his name is Yasser Luati, and he is from a group called the Collective Against Islamophobia in France. So he is fighting against the irrational fear of his community in France. And listen, this almost sounds, you would swear this was Fox interviewing this guy. You talk about liberal, lamestream media morons on the right. All you got to do is listen to this clip, and there's no way that these CNN anchors are commie lefties.
We have more now on how the Muslim communities in France are reacting to these attacks.
Yes, Yasser Luati joins us from Paris. He's a spokesperson of the Collective Against Islamophobia in France. Yasser, thank you so much for joining us. What is the feeling right now in the Muslim community?
You know, I don't have the I don't have it exactly queued up, but they do go on later.
The biggest Muslim minority in Europe. At the same time, it has the greatest number of laws specifically targeting the Muslim community. And at the same time, to add one more thing, those terrorists targeted everybody.
Given the fact that the finger of blame is pointed at the Muslim community, rightly or wrongly, does that not shift you into a situation where the Muslim community and the leaders should step up and take a greater role in looking at the young people and the roads that they're going down? You have to accept that responsibility to prevent the bigger backlash that comes your way when these things happen.
You have to accept the responsibility. Every Muslim out there should be running to their mosque right now and grabbing every young guy and saying, take me to your PC. I want to look at the browsing history. They should be sniffing over the shoulder of every person that they worship with. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this idiot from CNN, they're both Brits. I don't know if I don't know where this is from, what time this was on. But it's, I don't know if it's CNN International is what I'm saying. They obviously are already biased. They're already going after this guy. But what? But he's saying, look, they targeted everybody. They did. They didn't know who was Muslim in those restaurants out on the street. They didn't know if there were any Muslims inside of that concert hall. They just let the bullets fly. They targeted everybody. So, yes, it's a religious thing, but it's also a political thing. And to say Muslims can't shirk responsibility, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And then there's also bullshit where they're saying, why isn't the Muslim community stepping up? I again, if you're anywhere trolling around the left, there's stories abounding of how the Muslim community worldwide is stepping over themselves to condemn these terrorist acts and condemn the ISIS, condemn everything that's going on there. Why aren't they stepping up? Why aren't they stepping up? Accept responsibility. Okay, well, you know, white people, accept responsibility for racism here in the United States. Well, I'm not a racist. Okay. Accept responsibility for the gay bashing of Christians. Christians. But I don't do that. I like gay people. Do you see what I mean? You can do so much within your community, but when a small extreme lunatic faction of your community does something, I don't know how responsible you can hold people for that. So the concert that was being attended in Paris at the Bataclan, the theater there, was by a group called the Eagles of Death Metal. Now, the Eagles of Death Metal are not a death metal band. Excuse me. They're not a death metal group. It's a funny, it's an ironic kind of a name. Eagles, get it? They're based on the Eagles of Death Metal. They play like 70s bluesy rock. They don't play death metal. But that fact, that bit of empirical data, doesn't mean shit to a spouting ridiculous moron of the right, especially an uber Christian Taliban member like Pastor Steven Anderson, who we've played clips of before. He's pretty big on, where is his church out? He is out, I want to say like Arizona or something like that. Yep, Arizona. He's a guy, if you've seen the clips on our Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, or to go to crabdiving.com. He's the guy who preaches, and he's always got some really like shittily painted watercolor landscape behind him wherever his church is. It's the KJV, King James Version Bible Baptist preacher he is. I don't know exactly what the name of his church is, but here is Pastor Steven Anderson blathering on about this concert and what happened in France.
That hate me, love death.
That's right.
Speaking of God, those who hate God, love death. You know, there's something about when you go to a concert of death metal, somebody might get killed.
Right.
You know, you're worshiping death. And then all of a sudden people start dying. Oh, wait a minute, what's going on? Well, you love death so much.
Yeah.
That you bought the ticket.
Yeah.
You love worshiping Satan. Well, let's have some of Satan's religion come in and shoot you. I mean, that's...
So, this just mouth-breathing, drool-cupper, heinous example of a waste of human cells doesn't realize that the group... There's so much wrong here. First of all, he's just fucking wrong. He doesn't realize that the band is not a death metal group. They're not a Satan worshiping group. They don't worship death. And how does, by the way, liking death metal also mean you're a Satan worshiper? That's an interesting jump there, an interesting leap. He's probably one of these guys, though, that unless you're a snake waving Christian like him, that you worship Satan. I'm sure I, as an atheist, am a Satan worshiper in his eyes, even though it's impossible, because if I don't believe in God, I obviously don't believe in God's imaginary super foe. Here's a little bit more of this idiot. I don't, and I really would love to see the camera turned around and just to cast internet shame on any person that sits and listens through this. Seriously, a big giant opening of the sphincter of the universe upon those people and shitting upon them, because how you could sit and listen to it through this shit and his let's kill gay people stuff is beyond me.
What?
How different, before I'm going to rant, how different are the people sitting and listening to this asshole, this Christo-fascist, this dominionist, this evil motherfucker? How different is he and the people listening to him from the radicalized lunatics sitting in the mosques listening to a mullah spewing out hatred of everybody else like this guy does? How different is that? What would a regime under these guys be like? You don't think there would be summary executions in wonderful Christian land that this guy would make? You don't think there would be women forced to wear skirts down to the floor?
These people should think about before they go to such a wicked concert. And look, I'm not condoning what these Islamic murderers did. They're wicked. They're murderers. But you know what? Nobody.
Wait. There should be no but. I'm not condoning what they did. They're wicked murderers. But
you love worshiping Satan? Well, let's have some of Satan's religion come in and shoot you. I mean, that's what
I backed up.
These people should think about before they go to such a wicked concert. And look, I'm not condoning what these Islamic murderers did. They're wicked. They're murderers. But you know what? Nobody should be at a concert worshiping Satan with this drug-pushing hillbilly faggot. And that's what he is. I mean, all you have to do is just Google this band. Somebody emailed me and said, just hit Google Images Eagles of Death Metal. And these guys are just total sodomite-looking freaks.
So he doesn't know what death metal usually looks like, because most of the death metal types tend to have a certain different look than what this band looks like. But now they're also, not only are they death metal Satan worshipers, but they're also sodomite faggots at the same time. Quite a lot of multitasking going on there with the Eagles of Death Metal band.
Somebody emailed me and said, just hit Google Images Eagles of Death Metal. And these guys are just total sodomite looking freaks.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody thinks about that. It's just, oh no. Let's stand with France. No, France is a sinful, wicked nation. Let me tell you a little bit about France.
Oh, here we go. France is a sinful, wicked nation. By the way, the Eagles of Death Metal band, they're described as playing feel-good, bluesy, boogie rock, and that the group, the name is like a parody of death metal bands. He called the group's leader a drug-pushing hillbilly faggot. Here's what he says about France. Here's a little bit of Jesus wisdom, according to this motherfucker by the name of Pastor Steve Anderson of I'll look up the name of his church while this is playing here. Here is what he says about what's going on in France, a little bit more specifically.
But what it does to their body and their mind and their teeth and their whole life.
Yeah.
Evil pursueth sinners, Proverbs says, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this sinful nation of France. Did you know that France is the only country in the world where more than 50% of the population thinks that adultery is fine? Did you know that? In 2013...
yeah, more than 50% of the population thinks adultery is fine.
The Pew Research Center did a poll of all these different nations all over the world, and only one nation reported back where more than half of the population said that there is nothing immoral about having an affair, as they like to call it. The Bible calls it adultery.
Yeah.
So they just think it's... I'm not saying that half of them have done it. I'm saying that more than half of them think it's perfectly fine.
He's losing his shit. He's dancing around the stage now. That's all I can handle, this jerk off. Tempe, Arizona is where his ridiculous church is. It's one of these independent Baptist churches. And I think he does the Pastor Steve Anderson show, which is on the YouTube. So you can go... You can watch his ridiculous, moronic displays there. He's at the Faithful Word Baptist Church is the name of his ridiculous church. And they crow, if you go over to the website for the Faithful Word Baptist Church, which looks like it looks like some kind of a possibly a Ralph's or a Jewel store that was converted into a church. And the first thing it says on this stupid website is over 10 million MP3 sermons have been downloaded from this site. The only reason that his shit is downloaded so much is because of the heinous, horrific bullshit he has said. Go to Right Wing Watch, type in his name. Go to Raw Story, type in his name. Clip after clip will show up of just something vile that has dribbled out of the puckered anus that is stapled to the front of his face. It's awful. It's just clip upon clips. And that's the only reason. So when they crow about 10 million MP3 sermons being downloaded, it ain't because people are sympathetic. It's because people are looking at the complete train wreck and obvious megalith of hate that this asshole is spewing out there. I mean, I put in over at, even at the Friendly Atheist website, under the Pastor Steven Anderson tag, there's 7 pages with 4 or 5 stories per page about this guy. So look him up. He's worth checking out if you need a laugh and you need to know about what some of the really horrific humans of the extreme dominionist right are thinking. Again, a pox upon the people that go to this church. Shame on you. I don't care how dumb you are that you've been fleeced by this guy. At some point, any human would listen to this shit. Any human with a heart and empathy would listen to some of the just hate that comes out of this guy's mouth. And I don't care who you think your sky god is or what you think your sky god cares about, it would just elicit nausea in you. And I don't know how anyone could sit through this unless you're just a toad turd of a person. All right, that's the headline over at the HuffPo. that's how we got to that. Was through the HuffPo headline and a couple other sidetracks here. Over at the Drudge Report, I'm sure. Let's see what the dummies of the Drudge think is the most important thing today. Quite interesting that with everything going on in the world, the headline on the Drudge is Charlie Sheen HIV positive. Holy crap, ladies and gentlemen, knock me over with a butterfly fart. Charlie Sheen has been, there's been an AIDS cover-up, it says, on the National Enquirer. Now, if y'all listen to the Hollywood Hick here on the Crab Diving Network 24/7, on the 7th, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and at midnight is the previous episode. Listen to the Hollywood Hick. I think on the last one he may have talked about that, or I'm not sure. I know on the next one he definitely will, but it's been one of these blind gossip items that's been burbling up in the bowels of Hollywood about some big star who apparently has flung his seed quite widely is going to is now being outed as being HIV positive, and he may not have been quite forthcoming with those that he forthcame in. The headline goes over to the National Enquirer from the Drudge. It says, world exclusive, Charlie Sheen is HIV positive inside his shocking diagnosis. It says that I think he was actually calling, in fact, it just says he's got HIV. So that's what it says. He's been fucking with abandon for years. And he's HIV positive now. You know, the question then becomes, when did he find out? When did he realize it? How, you know, is he taking the drug? I'm assuming, of course, he's taking the drug protocol. Is he detectable? Was he fucking when his levels of the virus were detectable? All kinds of stories, all kinds of questions about the Charlie Sheen, but it is interesting that with everything going on in the world, the Drudge Report feels that Charlie Sheen is the big story. He has apparently said that he is going to make an announcement tomorrow. The Enquirer story came out today, but it says on the Today Show tomorrow, Tuesday morning, the 17th of November, the year of our Lord, Charlie Sheen is, reading from USA Today, expected to reveal that he is HIV positive. Reports in People and TMZ and Enquirer, the NBC News announcement, Sheen said Sheen will be making, quote, a revealing personal announcement. An exclusive live sit-down interview with Matt Lauer tomorrow. So keep your ear holes pierced. Definitely keep your ear holes pierced. Keep them pierced, too. What the fuck? Keep them peeled. Keep them attached to whatever device you use to listen to Crab Diving, the Crab Diving Network, and also to the Hollywood Hick, especially. He'll certainly be covering the story in depth on the sevens, or go to crabdiving.com to download previous episodes of the awesome Hollywood Hick. Coming up on the top of the hour here, ladies and gentlemen, getting near 3 o'clock. If you're listening live on a Monday, if it ain't that time, you're listening to the rerun or downloaded as a podcast. However, thanks for listening, everybody. This is a solo venture today. You're listening to me blather on and bloviate like Rush fucking Limbaugh for just hours upon hours. Well, a couple, because Ryan Pfeiffer is flying through the air, I believe, getting ready to get on a plane to head back to Los Angeles, California from an excursion to Chicago, where he successfully did some comedy and all kinds of other stuff. So we'll hear his stories when he gets back. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we'll be back live from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, and always available as podcasts a little later in the evening, usually, from iTunes, depending on how iTunes is feeling, like tickling our website. There's other stuff going on in the world. I know with the amazing news of Charlie Sheen, I don't know how we could be talking about anything else. But there has been some other things going on. I think I talked about on Thursday, if I didn't. Yeah, I think I did, because I think I vomited forth his name. It was this judge in Utah, do you remember? A lesbian couple. There was a hearing involved in the placement of a foster, or the continuing placement of a foster child, and this asshole, this evil skeksis of a Christian Taliban judge who has been reported that in his last review, I don't know how these reviews work, like who gives these job reviews, these performance reviews, but in his last review, he got not great numbers in keeping his personal views out of his judge-itudes, out of his judgments. And, you know, he's a big time Christian asshole. So, I mean, can you imagine it doesn't show my barcode on my taint doesn't show that I'm an atheist. So there's really no way to show it. I'm not going to, you know, I don't wear bling. So I'm not going to put on some kind of a Darwin fish pendant, big clock, Darwin clock with what's Flava Flav. So in Utah, this asshole was a 1-year-old baby girl who was there in this home of this lesbian couple who were married. Becky Pierce and her partner, April Hoagland. They got married after the Supreme Court decision. And even in Utah, they were allowed to get married. They didn't. I don't know if they had a lot of Kim Davises in Utah holding out. But they signed up to become foster parents. They had a 1-year-old baby girl was placed with their home 3 months. And they said the state was processing the termination of parental rights of the child's mother when the mother wanted them to adopt the girl. I don't know what's going on with the mother, but she is on board for this couple to adopt a child. And the judge, guy who, where's his name? I want to spit forth his name. You know what? I've seen all kinds of names here, but I ain't seeing his name. I'll get to it. But he said that he was taking the child away from them because that there's research that children do better in heterosexual homes. Now, I did talk about this on Thursday because I covered that ridiculous study that has been soundly and roundly and totally fucking debunked, that these idiots on the right still seem to try to grasp at and cling to in an attempt to say, look, kids do horribly when they're with gay parents. The judge's name is Scott Johansson. And they said that state welfare officials were reviewing the ruling and everything. But there was outcry, social media. This guy, I don't know if anybody talked to him or whatever. But the DCFS, the Department of Children and Family Services there in the state, they think they're more than qualified. They want the two women to have this child. There's a guardian ad litem that they've had assigned. That person wants them to have the child. The mother of the baby wants to entrust her baby to these two women. And the only goddamn fucking thing standing in the way is that asshole judge and his stupid Christian bullshit. It's bullshit. And a judge in that position should know. It shouldn't be, oh, somebody gave me this research and I didn't know that there was, that it had been deep. No, fuck you. It's your goddamn job. If you're going to cite research like that and take children away from people, it's your fucking job, you asshole, to know that. You can't tell me he doesn't know. One reason alone that he took this child away is because he doesn't like the gay, because his Jesus told him not to like the gay. Well, now this asshole apparently has fallen to pressure, because it appears that he has reversed his order now. I saw a story that he had issued a statement. I just opened the wrong story here. Utah judge lesbian. How's that? Here it is. A juvenile court judge in Utah has recused himself from the case. So there was a motion filed by the couple that said he should be disqualified from the case because of his personal views. And apparently he did not dispute that because he has recused himself from the case. It's actually a 9-month-old baby. Initially, I think that was, she's a year old now. It was a couple months ago. Last week, he had ordered that the girl be removed from the home and placed with a heterosexual couple within 7 days. Fortunately, that didn't happen. Nobody had to turn the baby over or anything like that. Meanwhile, the study that has been debunked was the one he cited. There have been countless other studies. The medical organizations, American Academy of Pediatrics, say that children do just as well in homes of same-sex parents as they do in heterosexual parents. A stable home is a stable home. It doesn't matter what dangly bits the adult figures have. The DCFS actually objected to the judge's order. And even the Republican governor there, it says, according to the Washington Post, cited concerns that the order might not be lawful. After the shitstorm, Judge McFuckjesus decided to put a stay on his order and set a date in December for a hearing to determine the child's best interest. But today he decided to remove himself from the case. So I guess that's good news. He should be removing himself from the fucking bench. Utah should be removing him from the fucking bench. I don't know if it's a election type of thing or whatever. If I was living anywhere where that guy was, I might be circulating some petitions to get his Christo ass recalled. Might be might be an LDS. Might be his LDS ass recalled, which we got some news from our Mormon friends too to talk about in a minute. So good news there, I guess. But hopefully the pressure will continue. We don't need people like this on the bench who are going to legislate their religion. We just don't. Legislate the law. Kim Davis, let the law. Follow the law. We don't care about your religion. Follow the law. It's not an undue burden for you to have somebody else issue a stupid piece of paper out of your goddamn office. So the judge there has removed himself from the case. Good news on that crabby follow-up. In other news, I've got a story here. Where's that one story I had? Good news. Let's talk about some good news. Why don't we? With all the really crap that we're wallowing in and swimming through these days. Why not? Let's talk about a little good news. This is the start of good news, I guess I could say. The tip of the iceberg. We need to go farther. But near the end of last week, Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, who is a Democrat, announced that they had had a special initiative and a special push to end veteran homelessness, which it's still just cranks my crank that the term even exists in this country. Veteran home. The fact that homelessness exists at all in this country is ridiculous and increasing, by the way. Yay, capitalism. But veteran homelessness, especially. I mean, if you put your balls or you put your vulva on the line for or whatever you have on the line for your country, I got no problem with a couple of cents per year or a few dollars a year of my tax money going to making sure that you are cared for until you drop dead. I'm okay with that. In Virginia, they have helped more than 1,400 homeless veterans get into permanent housing within the last year. And on Veterans Day last week, he announced that this Virginia is the first state in the country that basically has ended veteran homelessness. They have put structures in place to make sure that any veteran who ends up homeless in the future will be somehow able to get back into housing within 90 days. It says, as the state stat that we have is 2013, there were 7,600 homeless people, 9% of whom were veterans. We have Connecticut also. There was a White House challenge to end veteran homelessness, you know, by the evil black cock swinging tyrant, Muslim, gay, Kenyan in the White House. Did I say Kenyan? There was one of these evil things that he put out where, you know, hey, let's end veteran homelessness. This is the thing. Somehow, you know, out there that you could talk to some idiots and they would find something wrong with it. They would find something wrong with the White House challenge to end veteran homelessness. Oh, bammy, blah. Some cities, it says, have already, he wanted to end it by the end of the year. Some cities have already gotten there. New Orleans, kudos to New Orleans. I can't imagine. It must be cool to live in New Orleans, but goddamn, the moment you step out of the New Orleans city limits, you're in fucking Louisiana. I mean, Bobby Jindal is your governor. Good God. Houston has ended veteran homeless. And Las Cruces, New Mexico have announced that they ended their veteran homeless problems. Now, Phoenix and Salt Lake City have ended chronic homelessness. I don't know what that means, that people repeatedly, I guess, becoming homeless. And Schenectady and Syracuse in New York, Vegas, have also announced that they'll be ending or have ended homelessness for their veteran populations. A lot more to go. Los Angeles signed the pledge, but this city is having such a shit storm of homelessness right now that we had to announce that, you know, we had a state of emergency here for the homeless. I think Los Angeles bailed on the pledge because they're like, I don't think we're going to make it. The similar states of emergency have been declared in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, and the state of Hawaii has declared states of emergency for homelessness. So it's doing great. It's doing great. We also came out with their study came out last week that middle-aged white people are dying younger. Like for the first time, the number is going down because of basically stress, probably attributed to the shitty economy and the decimation of the middle class. You've got a small amount of elite who are doing well and are happy as clams. And the middle class is gone. It's been sucked dry by capitalism already, by unfettered capitalism. And now they're going after the poor people. Look what they're trying to do. They're trying to cut Social Security. They're trying to cut Medicare. They're trying to cut food stamps, cut welfare, because it's all the poor people that are the problem. The few billion to the poor people versus the hundreds of billions in corporate welfare and in tax breaks and loopholes to the rich. It's amazing what's going on. Vote Bernie. Feel the burn. And then if he doesn't win, then you got to vote Hillary. You just got to, because we can't. There's nothing on the right. Good God. Look at the last the clown car debate last week. Holy fucking shit. Do you want any of those people with the football? Donald Trump deciding when to possibly use nuclear weapons? Holy crap. Ben fucking Carson, who the more he talks, the more batshit he becomes. You want him with the nuclear codes and being the commander-in-chief of our armed forces. That's a chest clutcher. Ted Cruz. Christo-fascist. Looney Tunes. Donald Trump even said, I'm trying to find it. Donald Trump over the weekend again said that maybe it's something that we should, I don't know, maybe it's going to come to that we have to look at, maybe closing some of these mosques. It's going to close mosques. It's great. That's awesome. That's constitutional. President Trump. Talk about tyranny. Really? You talk about tyranny. This half of the things that these lunatics of the GOP are saying that are running for president, we're going to do this on day one. This is the real tyranny. Obama's low number of executive orders pale in comparison to some of these, what some of these assholes want to do. What else have we got going on? Supreme Court, big news, the scotus. Let me close this one. So yeah, kudos, good news for the assault on veteran homelessness. Keep going. It should not exist, that term. And actually, homelessness in the richest goddamn country in the history of this blue dot, that should not exist in this country either. World record profits. Let's all remember record profits for corporations. Homeless numbers growing. Now, what is that? Is that more lazy people? I don't think so. What was I opening here? Supreme Court. In what could be, well, it is the. Probably the biggest case challenging the power of Roe versus Wade will be taken up by the court. The Supreme Court of the United States announced that in November 13th they announced on 13th that they will hear a case called Whole Women's Health versus Cole. And this is one of these, this is a challenge to the heinous and horrible draconian anti-abortion law in Texas that I think it's the one that requires admitting privileges to a doctor at a local hospital in order to be able to perform, and then holds these clinics up to standards that are ridiculous, that they don't hold any other type of clinic, outpatient clinics out, where bigger procedures are performed. They don't hold those up to the standards that they're holding these guys up to. The court has decided that they will hear it. This is if it's upheld, what had happened was, I think a lower court had sided with the plaintiffs, and then a judge overturned it, or a panel of judges overturned it at the appellate level. And now if the law is upheld, basically, you know, in a lot of people's opinions, then Roe versus Wade is kind of gutted, because now this allows these Christo Talibano statesos to enact all these legislation to basically make it impossible to keep a clinic open. The case is, you know, there are those on the left who are slightly encouraged because the Kennedy, again, is the swing vote. And in, I think, previous votes, there was a previous case that he had written, that there were passages that he wrote that basically they think he might side with the sane side. Let's see, Planned Parenthood, in 1992, there was a case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, that was a huge case. The court reaffirmed Roe versus Wade in that case, surprisingly. The pro-choice movements, now they've been, because of that win, there have been ways to chop away at the dates. You know, that's it left ambiguous sections for the states to try to put in to try to bring down the date, you know, the how many trimesters, how many months, et cetera, whether they can stick a transvaginal probe up inside your hoo-ha, whether you have to have 72-hour wait. And some of these states, you know, these horrible laws like this one that they're trying to get rid of in Texas will cause, I think one of them, it said it was like a 200-mile one way. So you've got, and then there was another one where I think they said it was 500 miles. So you're supposed to drive hours and hours for your appointment. And then you have to, because, you know, the Christian men folk have decided that you little fillies can't make those decisions on your own. You need more time to think about it, because after you've been sitting there in the stirrups for your initial exam, you might change your mind. Then they have 48-hour, 24-hour, 72-hour, some cases, waiting period. So you got to go back. Or what do? You get a hotel room, you hang out. What do you, I'm on my abortion vacation. I'm taking a few days off so I can go through the abortion procedure in the Bible Belt fucking states. Maybe that's a new niche for the travel industry. Your abortion, where you go and you spend a few days at a lovely place where you have to go through all the heinous waiting and the probing and the proselytizing before you can have your constitutionally protected right to your own healthcare decisions. Maybe. Abortations. I think I'm grossing myself out. So, keep your eyes out on that one, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be the kind of the definition of undue burden. This is that ambiguousness. Is it an undue burden that she have to drive 200 miles and wait 72 hours and have something shoved in her hoo-ha? Is that an undue burden? Not to the white guys. Not to the old men. Doesn't bother us a fucking bit. the Texas statute is heinous. It's the one that, as they say, abortion Barbie, or Wendy Davis, famously performed her real and for true filibuster, not some weenie filibuster like they do in the Senate these days or in the House, where they basically say, I'm going to filibuster, and then they walk away, and that's it. Despite Rand Paul. The Rand Paulies out there, if a libertarian has somehow stumbled upon this podcast, and you love you some Ayn Rand, and some Ron Paul and some Rand Paul, he's full of shit too. So yeah, keep your eyes on what's going on in the Supreme Court. We're hoping, we're looking to Kennedy to hopefully put these heinous laws finally to bed. These laws that are forcing these clinics to enact not only the physicians to have admitting privileges, but also certain things that they have to have for the clinics and things that are just, it's just purely in order to close them. And I think intent is part of it too. If you look at the comments of a lot of these people, Rick goddamn freaking Perry, who we've heard nothing from since he kind of vanished, crawled back under his rock with the word N-word head carved into it. Since he bailed, you know, he's under those investigations and everything, but we really haven't heard.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third, sorry. Oops.
Herman came in the background. Oh, my. Rick Perry, I'm scattered as hell, ladies and gentlemen, here. I'm trying to find another story to chat about. I've got this story here. This is from, had to do with the protests in Missouri, which were going on at the University of Missouri. And all kind of coming at the same time with all this shit going on. Well, it turns out that something else is going on in Missouri, since we're talking about ladies, women's rights to choose. There's at the University of Missouri, there's a student who is going for her doctorate, and she is doing a dissertation on the effects of the state's recently imposed 72-hour waiting period for abortions. Her name is Lindsay Rohr. She says, I stand by my research project. I feel it is objective, and the whole point of my research is to understand how this policy affects women. Whether this policy is having a harmful or beneficial effect, we don't know. So there you go. She is studying this 72-hour waiting period to see what effects it is having. Well, in comes State Senator Kurt Schaefer. And I know this will shock you, ladies and gentlemen. A Republican from Columbia, Missouri. And he is the chairman of the state Senate's, get this, Interim Committee on the Sanctity of Life. What the fuck is there? Why in existence in a state or a government body is there something called the Interim Committee on the Sanctity of Life? Somehow he, the state senator, Kurt Schaefer, found out about this student's dissertation, and He sent a letter to the university and wants her to change it. He wants it stopped. He called her dissertation, quote, a marketing aid for Planned Parenthood. One that is funded in part or in whole by taxpayer dollars. He was demanding documents for the project's approval and is claiming that because it's a public university, it should not fund research that will promote elective abortions. There's law that the men of Missouri were able to pass there that in the state law prohibiting the use of public funds to promote non-life-saving abortions. So no abortions for you, no funded abortions for you. This Schaefer guy, also this committee of his has been investigating the university's ties to Planned Parenthood, allegedly. After these ridiculous videos came out that showed, you know, that Planned Parenthood was selling aborted fetuses, the university ended up canceling 10 contracts with Planned Parenthood amid the investigation, which eliminated It eliminated the opportunity for medical students to do clinical rotations that would help them learn how to provide surgical abortions and place long-acting contraception methods. So IUDs, I'm assuming long-lasting, long-acting contraception, maybe the Norplant. Medical students could no longer do these rotations at these clinics to watch and help learn these techniques. The senator, the state senator, Schaefer, called the students' research a marketing aid for Planned Parenthood using taxpayer dollars. The school shouldn't be able to conduct this research. We say that if he's saying the school shouldn't be able to conduct this research, it's a threat to academic freedom. The spokesperson for Missouri University said, at the state's research land-grant institution, we must stay committed to the discovery, dissemination, application, and preservation of knowledge. That's the part they have problem with. Preservation of knowledge to support our mission while abiding by state and federal laws. We will continue performing life-saving research in our laboratories. I almost said laboratories. We will continue performing life-saving research in our laboratories while providing the highest quality of educational opportunities to our students. He's pissed. He's got his old man Christian panties in a bundle over the fact that the supervisor of this dissertation is a woman named Marjorie Sable, who is a member of Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Missouri Board of Directors. Man, how could somebody have to? There's one organization that covers both Kansas and Missouri. Holy fucking shit! These are Wonder Women that work there. The grad student is working on the PhD in the School of Social Work, where Marjorie Sable is a director there. You know, she's looking at numbers. She's looking at talking to women that have been impacted by this ridiculous 72-hour waiting period. And that's the last thing they want. It's the last thing. Is a fact. They don't care. They don't give fuck all if these women are inconvenienced by the 72-hour waiting period. They don't want it to get out. This guy's trying to quash this student's dissertation. The they're saying that academic decisions should be made by academics and not politicians. So that's from Progress Missouri. Schaefer demanded documents be returned to his office by November 6th. I don't think they did. I don't know that they're necessarily going to. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on there with this rising attack on women's, on so many things. Not only is it an attack on women's right to choose at the fundamental level, but now going after academia for trying to study something. And they may not like the outcome. Therefore, it's because they know the outcome. They know that their 72-hour waiting period is bullshit and does nothing but hurt and annoy and irritate and inconvenience and harm people who are going through a very difficult decision in their life. So of course that's what's going to happen. They know it. This asshole, Kurt Schaefer, State Senator Kurt Schaefer from Columbia, Missouri, Republican, knows it. What the results are going to be. Wants to whack that mole before it even pops up. Stop the dissertation. It's going to be a advertisement for Planned Parenthood. Well, maybe it's going to be an advertisement for Planned Parenthood because it's going to show that you're hurting people with it. And that Planned Parenthood is right. You shouldn't have a 72-hour goddamn waiting period. We'll keep an eye on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on in the wonderful state of Missouri? And man, big crab claws up to the brave men and women, mostly women, who tend to, who are working at the Kansas and Missouri Planned Parenthood combined, those two states combined. I can't imagine. It's like putting Texas together with Oklahoma. What else is going on here? I've got a story about, I might have a clip actually from, this is from Right Wing Watch .org, which is one of our favorite places to go for right-wing watching type news, and toss them some shekels too. I think they're a nonprofit, people for the American Way. They're a offshoot of that, which is Norman Lear's group, I believe. And they recently had, do you remember those clips we played of Kevin Swanson, that the guy that's that wants, he threw that party, that Christian cabal meeting in Iowa. We played clips of early last week where he's calling for gays to be killed. You know, it's in the Bible. It's just the way it is. I'm not saying we do it right now. Give them a chance to repent. Give them a chance to repent, which means, okay, if they don't repent, then what does that mean? But this Kevin Swanson asshole apparently has used the sad, pathetic attack that many of these jerks use in trying to take down clips of their own bullshit being put on the internet. But when it becomes news and fair use and commented upon, all of these sites always win. Right Wing Watch has been attacked before by Gordon Clinging Shit of Colorado, that lunatic who is a right wing nut job. He's a preacher, and he used to be a chaplain in the armed forces and was kind of shown the door for not making his everything less Jesus-y, for making it too Jesus-y, being less inclusive of other religions and stuff like that. And then he ran for state representative in Colorado in nut job land and fucking won. And I think it was within like a month that he was in the Colorado legislature that he was censured for saying something heinous on his stupid YouTube Christian show. And then he suspended his YouTube Christian show until the end of the legislative period. And now he's back up doing it. Gordon Clinging Shit. But I've got a story here as soon as it opens. Do you want to hear what Glenn Beck has to say? We've got a few minutes left here on the show. Back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Much funnier show, Ryan Pfeiffer back from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 on the Eastern Type Coast. Don't forget to follow him on the Twitter at Rated R Comedy, by the way. Find out where he's going to be doing his comedy. I've got this Glenn Beck moment.
This is the sorry state of the Western world.
I don't think that's a good idea. Have you lost your mind?
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown. Rodeo clown. Rodeo clown.
Glenn Beck, ladies and gentlemen, on the blaze. Here's Glenn ringing in. On again, he seems to, when you prattle on, I can kind of see it now after dipping my toe into the world of blathering on all by your lonesome for a couple hours. I could see where you're going to say a lot of bullshit maybe. And, but Glenn is like, I could see where I could go and say like today's show, I could say, you know, here's what I think is going to happen. Here's my prediction. And then in a week I could say, here's a prediction that's a little different of the same idea. You know what I mean? I think over the course of many shows, you could cover your spectrum and then 5-6 years later, come back and say, oh my God, look, I'm a fucking swami. I've got crystal balls and, I could see into the future. Well, here, Glenn is really good at that. Going back to some previous show where he scrawled like a beautiful mind on his fucking chalkboard or his whiteboard, some ridiculous prediction that would happen. And it's always ambiguous. It's going to be something terrible is going to happen. Well, here is Glenn. I guess he's taking credit for having predicted the Paris attack.
So we were arming the wrong people in Syria by running guns through Benghazi.
Benghazi.
Which then led to the collapse of Syria and the creation of ISIS. Which in turn led to the refugee crisis in Europe, which led to the first shots in World War III in France on Friday.
The first shots in World War III in France on Friday. World War III has begun, ladies and gentlemen, according to Glenn Beck. The first shots were fired in France on Friday. Very alliterative.
It's not going to be declared by anybody to be World War III yet.
Just me. But you mark my words.
It may take quite some time. But make no mistake, you're at the beginning of a global war. The refugee crisis, when history is written, will be seen as a Trojan horse invasion by the Islamists in Europe. It will also...
There it is. Hate the refugees, everybody. It's a Trojan horse. They're sneaking them in. They're all Islamic sleeper terrorists. Every single one of them.
then be pointed out that it was aided by the United Nations, the European Union, and socialists worldwide.
Socialists worldwide. Bernie fucking Sanders, I can't believe you have aided and abetted ISIS in starting World War III. Got a fucking nut.
What happened on Friday is a final fulfillment of the chalkboard at Fox.
Oh, there we go. It's the final fulfillment of the chalkboard at Fox. His apocalyptic screed that said, you look, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and we're all fucked.
It is now finished. A caliphate will be established and the chaos will spread across the Middle East. Then it will spread to Europe, where the socialist, anarchist Islamists will work together to destabilize Europe and the Western world.
Socialists. Oh, I skipped backwards accidentally. The socialists. Wait, I got to hear that one again. And now I think I lost my place.
Trojan horse invasion by the Islamists and socialists worldwide.
God.
What happened on Friday is a final fulfillment of the chalkboard at Fox. It is now finished.
It is now finished.
A caliphate will be established and the chaos will spread across the Middle East. Then it will spread to Europe, where the socialist, anarchist Islamists will work together to destabilize Europe.
Socialist, anarchist Islamists will work together to destabilize Europe
and the Western world. Every line, every word was disputed. Every line, every word was called crazy.
And still is.
Madness. Far too pessimistic. Every word now has been fulfilled.
Oh, Glenn, you're amazing. Dude, lottery numbers, man. Give a crab a break.
It was all nuts. But isn't that the way the world feels today?
Yes, the world feels nuts today. But Glenn is somehow, he has disrobed and is rolling around like the big pink piggy he is in slop. Possibly slop dumped out of the, ordered from the Jim Baker show. Long pause for Glenn. Oh, long, slow pull in from the...
I said it to my kids this weekend. Director, I will say it to you.
You know what? The director's good. These guys know. They can feel when Glenn is going off to have his... I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. He just went off for a second and looked off very wistfully and started ever so lightly shaking his head. And at that moment... The camera started pulling in. Genius.
I am sorry, kids. But everything I have been talking to you about since September 11th.
Is true. I apologize for having been completely 1,000% prescient and right. It's so difficult. I'm so sorry.
I know that we've had signs here and there that it was beginning or it was getting closer.
I'm getting close.
But I'm sorry, kids. Everything that I have seen coming, the storm has now arrived.
Oh, this is too much.
It's time to grow up.
Oh, fucking God. I got to hear it one more time.
The storm has now arrived.
The storm has now arrived.
It's time to grow up.
It's time to grow up, kids. Oh, God. Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck. Fucking incredible performance. Accepting the Emmy for this year's batshit crazy. This year, fuck this. This hour's batshit crazy rant. Glenn Beck. Sorry, kids. I'm sorry. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Uncle Glenn warned you. It's time to grow up. Batshit crazy, but fucking entertaining as hell. A few minutes left here only in the big show. Actually, shortly after this, live episode here of me blathering on for your ear holes at 4 p.m. Pacific live today on Monday the 16th, a brand new Midnight Breakfast with the very funny, hosted by the very funny David Sharp, will be streaming for your ear holes. That'll be available as a podcast later on this evening, along with this, if you're just tuning in the waning moments of today's solo manifesto from me on crab diving. Charlie Sheen still trending on the Twitter, by the way. Thanks to the Twitter also for, there's a tweet that was shared from that actual asshole from Missouri. He tweeted out the Kurt Schaefer, the state senator, tweeted, "We must keep Mizzou out of the abortion business. I will remain vigilant in the defense of life and the law." God. And the pearl clutchers, the ancient white hairs are sitting in their double wides, are sitting in their sitting there eating their cat food, because that's all they can afford because of their goddamn Republican state that has cut their welfare benefits and their food stamps. And they're sitting around, they're going, I don't care that the Republicans are taking away my food stamps and my money. I care about the babies. We got to vote for Kurt Schaefer. It's just terrifying, ladies and germs. Hopefully these are the death throes of the evangelical influence here, now that kind of the establishment Republicans have sort of cut themselves off from the loonies that they were feeding, from the Trumpenstein monster that they created. And I know Trump isn't as Jesus-y, but Ben Carson, then, let's say, represents that side, as does fucking Ted Cruz, the not only Christo-fascist, but let's just bomb the government and leave it so that there's nothing left. And that's the American way. Fuck the people. Fuck the poor. Fuck education. I got mine, you lazy fucking asshole. The one last quick story, I guess, I could get here on the show. Thanks for listening to, if you've hung in for this very special crab diving, where I just talk for two straight hours without, with a very seldom a laugh to be heard. And a lot of pontificating going on. Don't forget, there's all kinds of stuff going on here on the network. We've got all kinds of shows. More shows coming here on the network as the network grows. And don't forget to spread the crabs. Actually, I might call it here, ladies and gentlemen. There's only a couple of minutes. There's only about a couple of minutes left. And I've got to do some technical things here for the next show that's got to show up on the network. So I guess that's going to be about it for me today. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, you can find all the other great stuff here on the network at crabdiving.com. Immediately following this, in a few minutes, if you're listening live, is the latest Midnight Breakfast podcast. If you're not listening to this live, hey, when you're done listening, go download the latest Midnight Breakfast podcast, or Pretty Misandry, or The Hollywood Hick, or The Daily Upper Decker, or Democracy How, or The Cantilinguists, all kinds of stuff here on the network. If I forgot anybody, mea culpa. But all kinds of great stuff here on the network. Follow us on the Twitter at crabdiving.com. Go to Crab Dive if you want to help support independent, screeching, yelling liberal media. Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon and go to Amazon and buy shit for whoever, all those obnoxious relatives you're going to buy stuff for the holidays, and send it to them so you don't have to go fucking see them. Send it to them with love through Crab Diving's hole. crabdiving.com/Amazon. We get a little taste. We get a little cut. And it doesn't cost you anything. Just costs the big man something. So we'd appreciate that. Don't forget, Ryan Pfeiffer is going to be doing some comedy somewhere soon. Find out where. Find out when. Follow his Twitter feed at RatedRComedy. Or go to his website, RatedRComedy.com. Follow me on the Twitter at Vile Experience. And back to the normal show, everybody. Everyone's saying, thank goodness. Back to the normal show tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram at crabdiving.